Om Sri Sai Ram, respected elders, distinguished guests, dear brothers and sisters, my name is Pablo Tristán, I am from Argentina, and I am the Deputy Central Coordinator of some Latin American countries of the Satya Sai International Organization. I am also the co-chair of the Public Outreach Committee of the Satya Sai International Organization. This morning, I'm really happy to introduce the first of two speakers who will share Swami's love and his mission. Leonardo Guter came to Swami 40 decades ago and has worked tirelessly to establish the Satya Sai organization in Latin America. He's a psychologist and represents entertainment companies in some countries of South America. Mr. Guter was the first National Council President of Argentina and a founding member of the Satya Sai Trust of Argentina as well, and the Zone Chair of Latin America. He is a member now of the Prashanti Council, which oversees the work of the Satya Sai International Organization in 123 countries outside India. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Leonardo Guter.
I offer my humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Bhagavan, our Guru and God, who is here now, permeating everything in the heart of each one of us. My dear brothers and sisters, my love to all of you. This is a gathering of love. Why are we here today? We are here today because we received the divine touch that opened our hearts and melted our egos. We are here today because we received the divine call, the divine invitation. Swami brought us all here because he has special plans for each one of us. He believes in us. Now is the time for us to believe in ourselves, to dare to become divine, to dare to fulfill our part in the divine mission. Some of us have traveled thousands of miles to be here today. But believe me, all of us have traveled thousands of lives to be here today. We are here today as the result of so many efforts that we have done in thousands of lives. But we are here today because we have an incredible fortune. We have been chosen by God as his disciples. We have been chosen by him to be his instruments. This is a real good fortune. In a few days, the 10th World Conference will start. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. But let me tell you, the Sai organization is also omnipresent. It is not only present in 123 countries all over the world, but believe me, there is no one country where you will not find the Sai devotee. In every country of this planet, Sai is present. In the last 2 years, the Sai organization made a quantum leap in its work. Many new initiatives and projects have been launched. We are working with unity. Everybody feels the cooperation, the fraternity. This is felt by one and all. And this shows very clearly that Swami is with us. He's inspiring us. He's directing us. And when I mean the Sai organization, I mean also all the people that live in this ashram, that work in the ashram, all the people that are in his institutions, in the schools, the university, the colleges, the people that work in the hospitals, the people that work in the water project, the Satya Sai Seva organization of India, we are all one. Swami is directing us, Swami is pushing us forward. In this 10th World Conference, we have received almost 1,000 delegates. Each one of them is a representative of the thousands and thousands of devotees that couldn't attend. We have to limit the attendance due to the capacity of the auditorium. But each one of the delegates will have the duty to share with what they will learn here to all their brothers and sisters in their countries. The theme of the conference, as you know, is love is the source, love is the path, love is the goal. Many years ago, I want to bring your attention to something very important. On the occasion of one of his divine birthdays, Swami gave a discourse, and then he said, the highest service that you can do is to work in the Sai organization. Never leave it. Those that leave the Sai organization are very unfortunate. Don't be unfortunate. Don't leave it. We are here because we believe in him, and we have to learn how to work better in the Sai organization. We came here to receive more information about the Sai message. We came here to receive more inspiration, more motivation, to accelerate the process of our transformation. We came here to increase the flame of love for Sai, to increase the flame of love for our brothers and sisters, to share our love, to receive, to intensify our desire to put into practice in our lives his message. We are here to understand better his message. We are here to recharge our spiritual batteries. We are here, as I said, because each one of us has a very important role in the Sai mission. But most important of all, we have been brought here by Swami to receive his divine grace and blessings. What is the essence of Swami's message? It is very simple. He came as a Punna avatar to convince us that God exists, to convince us that God is everywhere, that we are God, that everything is God. He said that he came here to help us to realize our own divinity, to give us the strength to realize who we are. He told us so many times that God is love, love is God. So the essence of the Sai message, the path to realize who we are, is the path of love. The spiritual path is the path of the excellence of love. It is very simple. It's not a matter of esoteric practices, of mantras, rituals or dogmas. All these are just purificatory actions that we do. The spiritual path is a path of love. It's to be good, to be better and better and better every moment of our lives. Spirituality is not the moment where we go to meditate, to sing bhajans, to do some service. As I said, these are purificatory acts. Spirituality is a way of living. It's an attitude of living. It's a way of being. It's how we will react, how we are, how we think, how we feel every moment of our lives. We have to be good, more good, much better, so good that in one moment we'll become love. And in that moment, we'll realize that we are God. Swami came here to teach us how to advance in that direction. I would like you to invite you to give a special offering to Swami. It is a tradition in the Sanatana Dharma that when we go to see our guru, we offer him a special dakshina. Is it right? Yes. So I invite you to give a special present to Swami on his divine birthday, something that he will like very, very much. Let's all of us resolve from this moment onwards never again to be angry. Let's resolve from this moment onwards that we will never criticize another human being, neither by word, feeling, or thought. I assure you that Swami will be very pleased if you are able to do that from now on forever. The spiritual path that Swami taught us is very simple and very practical. He told us that we should clean our windows. Let me give you this analogy. Imagine that in front of us there is a window, and on the other side is Swami, is God. And he tells us, once you clean the window, you will see me. When you see me, you will know who you are. You will wake up. The problem is that we have to do two things. One is to clean the window, and the second thing is not to add dirt to it. Because many times we do some service activities, we meditate, we sing bhajans, but then we came out to the world and we became very bad. We get angry. You know why we should never get angry? Because if you are angry, you didn't understand Swami. You didn't understand that He's the doer, and everything that happens to us is the best, is what He has sent to our lives. We are not accepting Him when we are angry. I will tell you, dear brothers and sisters, not only don't be angry anymore, don't be serious anymore. Not only don't be angry or neither serious, be happy. You know, Swami says that at the gates of heaven there are two guardians. And to be able to go inside, we have to do two things. Or expect that God comes out to bring us in, or become like God and the guardians will confuse us and let us in. If we have castor oil faces, if we are angry, if we are serious, they will never confuse us with God. God is never angry. God is never serious. So, brothers and sisters, if you don't smile, you have not understood Swami's message. You haven't understood anything of what He said. Or you have constipation. If you are constipated, you have a reason not to be smiling. But smile, smile. Attract other people by being examples of His presence, because He's in us all the time. So how cannot we be happy all the time? Listen, when He came as Shirdi Sai, He gave us the clue. A clue how to advance. And I will share it with you. He said something very simple. I hope that in my English I will pronounce it properly. He said, if you look to me, I will look to you. That was the key. If you look to me, I will look to you. What does it mean? To look to Him, we have to think that He's here in front of us, right? We cannot look at Him. So He said, if you think that I am there with you, I will be there for you. I will be there. This is the promise Shirdi Sai gave us. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba reiterated that, and he said, why fear when I am here? So why fear? He is here. He is here all the time, in our hearts, in front of us, around us, above, below, everywhere, all the time. Dear brothers and sisters, the second spiritual practice that you have to do is remember Sai all the time. Start the day with love, spend the day with love, end the day with love. This is the way to God. Did he say that? Yes? Start the day with love. When you wake up in the morning, think of him. Feel that he was sleeping by your side and give a kiss to his cheek and tell him, good morning, Swami. Start the day with him. Spend the day with him. Feel that he's with you all day long. Not forget him for one moment. Think that he's here with us all the time. And in the night when you go to sleep, give another kiss to him in his cheek and tell him, Swami, please have a nice dream and let me have dreams with you. This is to live in the constant presence of Sai. This is so simple. Spirituality is very simple. Clean the windows. Be good. Remember him all the time. And another important spiritual practice, and I'm sure you will not like it. Take two papers. When you go out after this morning, go to your room. Take two papers and write in one of them, I am going to die. Every morning after giving a kiss to him, read it and read, I am going to die. And think about that. Swami said that this is a very important thing for every spiritual aspirant. Remember that we are going to die. Before you get depressed, before you start crying, read the second piece of paper. In the second piece of paper it is written, not yet. Brothers and sisters, let's think what we are going to do in this not yet time. There are three alternatives in the spiritual path. Advance, be stagnant, or go backwards. Be stagnant is very bad. We have a limited time. Go backwards is even worse. Advance, advance, advance. Become what Swami expects from you. Become loving beings in this planet. Remember him. He says, spirituality is just remember him all the time, do service, be loving, be something good for this planet. I would like one day when there was a world conference like this one that we're going to have, I was seated in one line over there. Swami was supposed to give, this was the last day of the world conference. He was supposed to give the valedictory discourse. And suddenly he called Dr. Goldstein, he said something to him, and he looked for me, and Swami was calling me. So I went to him, surprised, and Swami told me, I was supposed to speak, but you speak. I will speak tomorrow. And then he said, speak about your experiences. You know, he took me by surprise, so I came here and I started speaking, and I couldn't stop. You know, when I started my spiritual life, I read many spiritual books, but I'm a psychologist, I was very skeptic. I had to see to believe. I was very stubborn. So Swami, out of his infinite mercy and love, filled my life with divine miracles. If I want to share with you all the miracles he gave me, all the divine experiences, I would be talking to you till tomorrow. But I have no time to do that. But I have to obey him, so I will share a couple of experiences with you. Many years ago, and I will share this experience that gives you also another important secret that Swami has given us. And this is something that we all will need one day or the other. Swami taught us how we should ask God for his help. Do you want to know it? Yes? I hope you say yes. I hope you are not sleeping. I hope you are understanding my English. Okay, Swami said that we have to ask him for his help in a very simple way, with intensity. With such intensity that two things could happen. Either he gets tired of our request and concedes us what we want, or we are tired of asking and we give up and accept our destiny. That is the way. Intensity. Intensity is the key for everything in the spiritual path. One day, many years ago, I was traveling to 7 Latin American countries. For many, many years, I traveled to every Latin American countries. In that trip, I had to visit 7 Latin American countries to speak at public meetings, to attend the selection of office bearers of the Central Councils or Coordinating Committee of those countries. So I left Argentina, I took American Airlines flight, and my first destination was Bogota, the capital of Colombia. I went through Miami, and arrived at Miami at 4 or 5 a.m. My plane to Bogota was leaving at 4 p.m., and I decided to stay at the airport. Imagine, 11 or 12 hours is an eternity. I went to the prayer room, did some meditation, had my breakfast, read some books, slept a little, went around to one store, to another store. The Miami airport is very big, there are different concourses. I came back, read a little more, stood up, more stores. You know, 11 hours is a long time. At 2 p.m., I decided to go to the to check in for my next flight that was leaving at 4 p.m. I had a bag with me. Inside the bag, I had a purse. I think the English word is purse. You know what the travel agencies give you with your ticket? At that time, the tickets were paper. So they gave me my ticket with this plastic purse, and I put inside my passport, my money, my tickets, my credit cards, everything. So I put my hand in the bag to take my purse, this plastic purse, and it was not there. I couldn't believe it. I said, no, this is not happening. Again, nothing. You know, if you lose your passport, you cannot continue your travel, your trip. You have to go to the embassy, get another transitory passport, and go back to your country. You may lose your tickets, and the travel agency can give you issue it back, but I lost my passport, my tickets, my money, my credit cards, everything. I became like crazy. For 9 or 10 hours, I was going around all over the airport. So, like crazy, I start running from one place to the other, wherever I have been, asking if my purse was there, nothing. I went to Lost and Found, expecting that someone has found it and took it there, nothing. And suddenly, out of my craziness, I remembered what I have told you. I only had Swami to ask for his help. This was a complete disaster because that same day in Bogota, I had to speak in a public meeting in the auditorium of the University of Bogota where 2,000 people came. My name was in the posters inviting for the meeting. Not only that, there were also posters in the different countries already printed with my name there. People have already bought their tickets to go to the different seat places where we are going to do the selection of the office bearers. So imagine, everything had to be cancelled. So I said, Swami, you only can help me. And I said, I had to ask him with intensity. But I thought I couldn't sit in a chair and ask him. So I decided to go to a private place to ask him. And which is a private place at the airport? A bathroom. I went to the first bathroom I found, entered the bathroom, sat there, closed the door, and I started to ask Swami, please Swami, please Swami, please Swami. I was like 30 or 40 minutes, please Swami, please Swami. Not aloud, because someone would say there is a crazy man inside, but in my mind I was, please Swami, please Swami. After 30 or 40 minutes I was exhausted. I always say that even if you come with a gun and say to me once more, I would say shoot. I had no more energy. I was just exhausted. My resignation said, I will go out, ask someone for some help, give me a coin to call the embassy, and they will send me back. When I came out of the bathroom, I closed the last door and I turned, and 2 meters from me there was a lady looking very attentively to me. And she raised her arm with my purse in her arm and said, sir, is this yours? I took the purse and with my mad monkey mind, I looked if everything was inside. Of course, everything was inside. When I raised my head to say thank you, she was vanished in the thin air. Swami was here in his physical form, but in his omnipresent form, he was at the Miami airport, taking the form of a lady to give me my purse. He proves me so many times that he's everywhere. I mentioned before about the special touch. Do you remember? We are here because we received a special touch. I will share with you another special touch I received from God. Also, many years ago, I was ready to come to India. 3 days before my departure, I had an accident and my nose was fractured. I was taken to a clinic. The x-rays proved that my nose, the bone was fractured. And the doctor told me that I didn't need surgery because the bone was aligned. But it was going to take 30 to 40 days to heal. Believe me, the pain was excruciating. I couldn't move my face like this. I would do this. You know, I couldn't do this movement. The doctor gave me some cotton to put inside my nose for the night, so when I move in the night, the bone would not go out of place. Then I thought, what I'm going to do? I have already my ticket to go to India. Well, my body got awake, and I thought, it's better to suffer here than there. So I came to India. But my karma was not over. It seems that in my previous life I have made something very wrong, because on the plane I got a cold. Do you imagine with a broken bone to blow your nose? Each time I had to blow my nose, I saw stars over my head. I was crying, literally crying, and saying, what did I do in my last life? Like this, I arrived at the ashram. First darshan Swami came. I didn't tell anyone what happened to me. I didn't have any signs. Sometimes when you broke his nose and you have dark under your eyes, I had nothing like that. So Swami came out for darshan, looked at me and called me for an interview. I didn't tell him what happened to me either. So whenever I have an interview with Swami, I try to sit as close as possible to him. So I sat by his side, by the side of his chair. So in the interview, he starts speaking with everybody. He spoke and spoke. And suddenly I saw that he looked at me with a corner of his eyes, and a little smile I saw in his face. You know, I perceived that. But he was talking and talking, and suddenly he said, he did like that, and get hold of my nose. I had no time to go back or to scream. He got hold of my nose. He had an incredible strength in his fingers. I always say, if I get your nose as he did, I will hurt you. He got hold of my nose and he did like this. 15 or 20 seconds, he was shaking my head from one side to the other. And, you know, before I couldn't touch my nose, at that moment I didn't feel anything. The only thing I thought is he will take my nose out of my face. But suddenly he released me and he continued speaking to everybody as if nothing happened. When my head stopped shaking, suddenly I realized that my nose was completely healed and my cold was completely gone. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I had many, many experiences with Swami. When I traveled to give talks in Latin America, I forgot many, but I have started to write some of them, and I will always carry 45 of these experiences. I would like to share all of them with you, but it will have to be in another trip. But let me tell you, not only me, millions of people all over the world have had these experiences with Swami. I had the good fortune of traveling all over Latin America for 25 years. I have traveled to many countries all over the world. I have heard these incredible experiences. Even people that never knew about Swami before, people that had no idea who he was, he materialized in front of them and healed them and talked to them. And then they saw his picture in a book. So many people all over the world received these tokens of love. I would like to close this talk by reminding you about one divine command. When Swami formed the Prashanti Council, he called the members of the Prashanti Council to his house, and there he told us what we have to do, what was the purpose of the Prashanti Council, how we have to behave. And suddenly he said something that I will never forget. He said, go to every corner of the world and bring my message there. This is a divine command not only for the members of the Prashanti Council. It's a divine command for all the Sai devotees. We all have to become beacons of his divine love. I pray that each one of you will become the best manifestation of his message, that each one of you will become perfect instruments at his divine hands. I offer to him, in all of you, my love and my gratitude. Jai Sai Ram.
Respected elders, distinguished guests, dear brothers and sisters, Om Sri Sai Ram. My name is Katinka van Lamsweerde. I am the National Council President of the Satya Sai International Organization in the Netherlands and also a member of the Disaster Relief Committee of Zone 7. Before introducing our next speaker, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that the Satya Sai International Organization has just opened an exhibition on Satya Sai's divine message, his life and his work. Everybody is heartily invited to see the exhibition, which is open every day from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. And it is located in the building right next to the bookstore in the ashram. Please enjoy this wonderful exhibition. I am very happy to introduce the second speaker, who will now share her experience about Swami's love and his mission. Dana Gillespie is a professional award-winning musician, actress, and songwriter from the United Kingdom. She has been involved in recording over 60 albums and has appeared in several films. She first came to Bhagwan in 1980s, and drawn by his love, she has sung in the Divine Presence many times. Many will remember her sparkling tribute of love on one of the occasions of Satya Sai's birthday, where she was on the very same podium where he was sitting in the Hillview Stadium. Ms. Gillespie has been spreading Swami's message and his love through her concerts in the United States, Poland, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Kyrgyzstan, Croatia, Russia, and other countries. Please welcome Dana Gillespie. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Dearest beloved Swami and dear Sai brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to be here because being here at birthday time, we all have such memories about Swami, and especially for me when I've been lucky enough to sing for him. The first 12 years of my life, I was always sitting at the back, and in fact Swami never even, well, he gave me the odd glance, but he never spoke to me. But all that changed when it came to the 70th birthday. About 6 months before, I got a telephone call saying, would I like to sing for him? And, well, I was quite happy, and I thought, well, I've just made my first bhajan CD, so this is bound to be, they want bhajans. But I was told, no, he wants you to do your Western music. So I thought, okay. So I wrote what I thought was suitable songs and arrived with my blues musicians. Now, blues music is started about 100 years ago, and it's very much from the heart and very spiritual in its own strange way. So I arrive with an electric guitar and a drummer and a boogie-woogie piano player and a bass player. And in those days, this kind of music was never heard here. And always at the birthdays, it seemed to be, it was always classical Indian and rather serious stuff. And when they had a week long of celebrations, and all the great Indian musicians and sportsmen and things, they were all there. And on the very last day, on the 23rd, I was put on to sing. And I come out with my musicians, and the moment the music starts, Swami gets up from his chair and goes over to the jeweler and is swinging away happily. Well, he might have been happy, but I know that about 99% of the audience were extremely unhappy. They'd been expecting sitar or something. And I have since met various students, where they were students then. Now a lot of them they're men, and some of them are grown up and have got married and have children. And they've all said to me, God, we hated that music that you did. But they since have learnt to love it, because Swami's message has to go everywhere, and it has to be taken in all forms of music. And his message of love is so important. Somebody said to me the other day, why is it that you sing facing this way and not like all the other artists do, facing this way? And the reason is this. I have never sung to Swami. I sing for Swami. You know, if I sang to him when he would be sitting... If I would be singing and he'd be there looking at me, I think I would be reduced to a jelly, a pulp, and I'd be crying. And that's no good. He wants me to do my job, and my job is to go out and talk about him and sing about him. Okay, I've sung when I've been in the Sai Kulwant Hall, and he's sometimes been sitting there, or he's sometimes been sitting there. But I don't really look at him. I might give a little peep of a glance just to check he's looking happy or still there. But basically, my duty, my job, is to sing to all of you. And the one thing, the most important message that always keeps coming back and back and back is that he is always with us. You know how many times he said it, that he is within. We don't need to go anywhere else ever to find Swami. He is within us. And as Leonardo said, he gave us a promise. And because he gave this promise, we have to go out as his messengers of love. And this word, the promise, leads me very nicely, I think, into the first song I'd like to sing for you. I wrote it for the 80th birthday, and I sang it for him in the stadium, or for you, and it is called The Promise. The lamp of love, you'll never be in darkness. You can hold it near, it'll take you far. Oh, the lamp of love is illumination to see what you really are. Oh, prema swarupa, embodiments of love. We all belong to the one who holds that vast blue dome above. With a lamp of love, you'll never be in darkness. That's a promise, that's a promise. Behind the curtain, he pulls the strings, gives us hope and gives us wings to fly to where we all belong, to hear the song the angel sings. Once you hear him calling, it cannot be ignored, for he catches us when we're falling, and he says, am I not your Lord? Yes, Swami, you are my Lord. This love is like a diamond that shines for all to see. It's the only jewel of value. It's the one that sets us free. For worldly pleasures mean nothing compared to the treasures of the heart. The one who's always giving has made love into a living art. So give your heart completely to the one who is adored. To hear those words said sweetly, and those words are, am I not your Lord? Oh yes, Swami, you are my Lord. So light the lamp of love, and your life will be complete. If you follow in the footsteps and fall at the Lord's feet. So when trouble comes, you'll be going on. You won't give up, you'll be shining through. And
the moment you surrender, He'll be there taking care of you. He'll never let us down. Of that we are assured. So when those storm clouds gather, He's the one to bring the calm. That's why all the hearts are saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Bhagavan. With the lamp of love, you'll never be in darkness. If you hold it near, it'll take you far. For the lamp of love is illumination to see what you really are. Oh, Prema Swarupa, embodiments of love. We all belong to the one who holds vast blue dome above. With the lamp of love, you'll never be in darkness. If you hold it near, it'll take you far. With the lamp of love, you'll never be in darkness. That's a promise. That's His promise.
Thank you. When I sang for the 75th birthday, also in the stadium, I came also with my blues musicians. And I was still being a bit of a rebel. For some reason, I refused to get into a sari. I was always much happier in the old shalva kameez. And Swami would often come sort of what I call the backstage area and check that my dupatta was pinned in the perfect position. He didn't want me going, da-da, and everything flies off. And for the following year, within 1 week, he gave me 8 saris. So that was my hint, a very serious hint, that I had to try and get a little bit more elegant. And he still used to come, when I'd be singing here, he used to come back and make sure that everything was pinned correctly. Because, you know, he used to be so elegant and correct, and he wanted us to be elegant and correct. Well, one time in an interview room, he said to me, I'm going to give you spiritual diamonds and you will take them all over the world. I had no idea what he was talking about. So I just said, yes, Swami, as one does, because I really didn't understand. But within 1 year, I started getting invitations to go and sing all over the world if I was not doing my normal concerts, to come and sing for Swami. And I kept thinking, what were these spiritual diamonds? And now I've come to the conclusion that they are, first of all, stories, because if one has had experiences with him and one is lucky enough to have had them, then it's my duty to go out and share them if people want to hear them. But the other spiritual diamond are the bhajans. Swami used to stress so much the importance of bhajans, because I could go to anywhere in the world and there's a Sai Center, and I can sing in, and we'd be like one family, this thing of unity. And didn't he always used to say, unity is divinity? Well, I'd like to do now one bhajan with you all, and this is a bhajan that I think probably has to be my favorite. I mean, today is a day of doing old favorites. And this was a song, that bhajan, that when I first came here in the days of sand on the floor and being rained on sometimes, whenever this bhajan was performed, the hairs on my arm used to go up. It would hit me in my heart. And I loved this song. And for about 8 years, I carried on loving this bhajan. And then for some reason, 2 very important lines were taken out. The boys weren't singing it, and I couldn't understand it. I'll tell you what the lines were, and then you'll have a very good hint as to what song is I'm going to sing. The lines were, La ila illa la, Muhammad e Rasulallah. And I couldn't understand why they weren't singing this. I even met the man who wrote the song a few years ago in Delhi, Mr. Nagraj. And by the way, he also wrote Prema Ishwara Hai, another hot favorite of mine. And so I was in a quandary because I wanted to go and record this bhajan in the studios. In fact, I've recorded it twice on two different CDs. So Swami called me in and I said to him, you know, this wonderful song, I want to do it, but what's happened to the two lines? Should I all, you know, take them out? Because for me, if a composer has written a song, they are there for a reason. And he said very strongly, no, you put them in, back in. So I'm saying to all of you boys who still don't say those, sing those lines, I'd like to do this song the way it was written, the way it should be sung, the way that Swami said it should be sung, and let's all do together, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Prabhu Allahu Akbar, Shri Sai Pati Sai Tumaho. Yesu Pita Prabhu Allahu Akbar, Shri Sai Pati Sai Tumaho. Zoroastra Mahavira Tumaho. Guru Nanak Devi Tumaho. Zoroastra Mahavira Tumaho. Prabhu Allahu Akbar, Shri Sai Pati Sai Tumaho. La tomorrow. Cause Lord, I'll start my havina tomorrow. Sufita Prabhu tomorrow. Allahu Akbar tomorrow.
You will notice that I do sway around quite a bit when I'm singing. I can't help it. When the music starts, then I'm lost. And Swami once said on the men's veranda, he said, look at Dana, she's always going like this. And he did me much better than I do me. So I know that he never minded that I swung around. And when I first heard bhajans all those years ago in London, there was only one bhajan book and it had loads of mistakes in it actually. But on the first page there was a list of do's and don'ts when you're how to sing bhajans. And one of them said, do not move, do not sway when you sing bhajans. I knew I was heading for trouble when I was going to sing. I just can't stop moving. Anyway, I'd like to finish with a song that I wish I'd written myself. I nearly always sing songs that I've written myself because that way I can put my heart and soul into it. But I was in Chicago, and could have been about 18 years ago, and I'd gone over there to give a little talk and sing. And after the whole thing was over, it was quite late at night, and I'm sitting up in a room upstairs, and a wonderful woman called Geeta Chanalia took her harmonium, and she just started playing. And the moment she played this song that she had written, that I wished I had written, again, hairs on my arms went up. And I knew that this was a song I must record. And the thing that hooked it for me was the word rose petals. And I've always had this thing about rose petals. It started because I suppose it was Swami's 71st birthday. He'd asked me to sing in the Purnachandra Hall. And I had a bit of a problem. How was I going to offer him a rose? Because he was sitting down in what I'd sort of call the pits down there in the dark areas. I couldn't possibly go down through the men, which would have been a big no-no in those days, and offer a rose. So the only thing I could do was to kind of offer him rose petals like that. And the other thing is, when I was 15, I was swept away in an avalanche in Switzerland. My leg's never been normal. So Swami knows that. Actually, one time when it was really bad before the concert, he took me in and he sat me on the floor and he massaged with his feet like this my knee for about 10 minutes so that I had enough power to get through the performance. Anyway, ever since then, as you saw, I throw the rose petals. I never gave a rose. And even at I think it was the 80th birthday, so many people wanted to see him and talk to him after the concert. I didn't want anything. I was just thinking, how can I give him my rose petals? And there's a big line of artists all filing past. And I was thinking, I'm not going to talk to him anyway. He doesn't need to say anything to me. I've just sung for him. And instead, all he did was he lifted the robe, stuck out his feet. I plonked the rose petals on it. He put the robe down again and tucked his feet back in. I thought, that's enough. So I'd like to do this song. I think I've sung it already twice for Swami. And as I said, it's a song I wish I'd written myself. It's called Shower the Rose Petals.
Samastha, Loka, Sukhino, Bhavantu, Samastha. Ramam bhajo, सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राण जय